Okay, go ahead, Shores.
Okay, let's see. So I was up in Alaska for 6 months. Actually, 3 months, but the whole trip was 6 months. And, I stopped at St. Helens. So this was like a year after its eruption. So I got to see, and I actually got to see redness inside the volcano now that I was in the volcano mode. Yeah, so then I came back to L.A. and I worked. It was probably like 9 months, and I was a driver and doing parts, driving it around the L.A. area. And then I started doing stuff with the whale census, okay? The whale census, I was watching whales from this place called Point Vicente for a long time, back in the 70s even, but usually by myself or with a friend of mine, and had been watching the gray whale migration on my own. But then one day I was counting whales where I met somebody who was part of a whale census in Marineland.
Oh.
And then she asked me how many whales I saw. And I said, well, I've counted 30 whales so far. She goes, that's how many we counted. So then she invited me. So that's how I ended up joining the whale census. And I did the whale census, and I ended up quitting my job to do whale census stuff instead. And then I, somewhere along the line when I was doing whale census, I had overheard two people who I know. One was a marine biologist and one was a biology teacher. And they were talking about the Grand Canyon National Park is looking for data collectors. And I go, wait a minute, I'm a data collector. I collect data on whales. And they would ship them into the Grand Canyon. So there was my river trip.
So this was a year after Mount St. Helens, is 1981. So it could have been a little longer than
yeah,
a year.
Maybe it was longer. It was
a little longer.
But it was sometime after. Because when I went through that, all the trees were knocked down already.
You could see the knocked down trees.
Yeah, the trees were knocked down, and that whole Spirit Lake was full of logs.
And that was on the Alaska trip that you stopped there?
Yeah, on the way up.
Okay. Did you go to Denali?
Yeah.
Any other national parks up there in Alaska?
Yeah, I went to... what do you call it? Kenai.
Kenai.
Yeah, I went to Kenai.
Kenai Fjords.
Yeah.
And nice.
I went by Exit Glacier, and I went on the, it was some type of ice field.
Mendenhall? No, that's Juneau. You wouldn't have driven to Juneau. Columbia.
No, something else. Harding?
Okay.
Maybe Harding?
Okay.
Yeah, it was by Kenai Peninsula there.
So tell us about when you got back from the Alaska trip.
Yeah, so I got back to the Alaska trip, and that's when I started working just to get some money back up. And so I was going to work a year, but I ended up getting involved with this whale watching thing, and so I finally quit. And then I went full-time whale watching.
Were you getting paid to whale watch?
No, I was volunteer. And I did that for four winters. And I did it almost every day from dawn to dusk. And
this was at Point Vicente?
Yeah, about 5 months.
Is this the Palos Verdes Peninsula?
Yeah.
Right. Is it the north or the south side of the peninsula?
Well, it's the most southwestern point of all of L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, so Marineland, where it would be on the south side, but this other spot was actually on the west side.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right at that corner. Yeah.
So this is one thing I get a question about a lot, is when people volunteer in the prime of their life, people always have asked me, what made you think that you could get by volunteering? Didn't you need to make money? Can you talk just a little bit about your mindset as you left a paying job working for the defense contractor delivering parts? What's going through your mind as you take up a long-term volunteer position?
Well, I don't spend a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, like even when I had that apartment, I paid only like $150. And when I was on these big trips, somebody would move in that I knew.
Okay.
That was the deal. And she would move in, and then she would pay the rent.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I didn't, and I still, to this point, I don't spend a whole lot of money.
That's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's income and there's outflow.
Yeah, and like for example, I have this, my car right now. I bought it brand new in 2006. And I haven't even hit $100,000 on it yet.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
Did the whale watching people give you any kind of a stipend for food?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you did that, you said, for 4 or 5 winters?
Four winters, about 5 months. I don't think I did 6 months, but something like 5 months.
I assume you had a bank account where there were some savings to pay $150 per month?
Yeah, well, I had, I made money, when I was a TV repairman.
Right, okay. People want to know these things. They always ask me the same thing. I started down here as a volunteer.
Yeah, because it's, if you don't spend a whole lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, and then I did have to give up a bunch of stuff. By the time I was, doing the volunteer for the thing, I stopped going to concerts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never.
Because concerts by that time had gone up to $12.50.
Yeah, I think by the time I, in fact, before I even did any of those trips, I pretty much had stopped going to concerts, and I never go to restaurants, unless it was Taco Bell or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't spend a whole lot of money. And when I did that trip, around the United States, most of the campgrounds didn't have water, and that was pretty much free.
Okay.
It cost me less money to travel around the Pacific Ocean than it was to stay in the United States.
So I guess this little trick about having the proper outflow, is that something you learned from your parents?
It could be. I don't know.
It could have just been the times as well. I mean, a lot of people were sort of getting by on little.
Yeah, the other one, too, if I remember, too, there was a period of time where the, interest was high.
Yes.
Yeah, and they had these T-bill accounts.
Oh.
Yeah, and I remember putting money into the T-bill accounts. Yeah, and so I think that was part of it. But I've never been in a situation where I owned any money.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just I said it was, it was cheaper for me to travel than it was to stay at home.
Yeah.
And work.
And what was the name of the whale watching outfit that you were volunteering for?
The American Cetacean Society.
Okay.
The Los Angeles group.
Okay.
But I also did some whale watching for American Cetacean Society for a San Diego group.
Okay.
Yeah, but those were on the islands. So I did islands too.
So they would pay your way out to the islands.
They get me out there, but there's one particular time for 2 months that I was actually paid to watch whales.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a point where I was half. So this is later. There was where I was half working here, and then working on North Rim. And then half of my time watching the whales. So there was an overlap period.
Okay, well, I just heard from you something about working here, meaning Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And was it during this four-year period that you began to volunteer at Grand Canyon National Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
So let's talk about that story. Talk about your journey back to the Grand Canyon. This is after your kid trips where you saw the Black Bridge, and then you hiked down with your father and your sister, and uh-huh. you're on the beach, and your father says you can get on that river trip. Now, where are we at with respect to Grand Canyon? You're whale watching in the winter.
Yeah, whale watching in the winter. And then I overheard this these two people that I knew. One was a school teacher, and another one was a marine biologist. And they were talking about that Grand Canyon National Park was looking for data collectors, and they would ship them into the canyon.
Huh.
And so I turned around, and I got the telephone number on it and made phone calls. And so I had set it up and then after I got done to watch whales, I went on another trip. I stopped here to talk to them some more, and then I went to Canada for a couple of months. And then I came back, and it must have been, I would guess, it must have been towards the end of July, beginning of August.
Remember which year?
It would be 86.
86. So the end of July, beginning of August in 1986, you come back from Canada, stopped again at the South Rim. This is where the people were?
Yeah, this is where I had the meet. And they put me in classes. By hydraulic, and I was also part of the deal was they told me to have it was possible if I could bring a friend so we can make sure they you can get along because you're going to be in the canyon for a while. So a good friend of mine from high school, Brian Volkland, and he was going to join me, but I didn't know if he was, but he was waiting for me too here.
Can you spell his last name just for the...
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. V-O-E-G-L-E-N, something like that.
Voglin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then and so we met, and so we got all thing, and then they took us to Lee's Ferry, and got on the river trip, and that's where I met George Steck, because he was part of that trip.
He was on that trip.
Yeah, George Steck was on that trip. His daughter, and one of the boatmen was his son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how I got the river trip.
And this is probably a science trip, so you're on the river for...
Yeah, so it was, they shipped us down to Hans Rapid and got dropped off, and they spent 18 days there.
18 days to Hans Rapid, yeah. 77 miles.
yeah, 18 days there. And what we were doing, so this was part of the Glen Canyon environmental study thing, so it was all kinds of stuff were going on. And so Larry Stevens was involved.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we were at Hans, and so our part of it was they gave us a piece of paper with a map of the rapid and looking down like, and then we would draw with different colors the different boats how they went through the rapid at certain water levels.
Oh, so you were like stationed at Hans Rapid watching river runners go through.
Yeah. And then if they did stop to get they do scout the rapids, we would actually interview them and see if they had any trouble with because of the effect of the river going up and down.
But let me make this straight. Were you taking 18 days to get to Hans Rapid, or you went from Lee's Ferry directly to Hans Rapid and then spent the...
It's 18 days at Hans Rapid.
At Hans Rapid,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably just 3 days to get to the rapid.
Yeah, it didn't take that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then George Steck was at House Rock. Then there was somebody else farther down, and then we were the third one. And they placed them all the way down the river.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then after the 18 days...
And you and Brian were at Hans Rapid together.
Yeah, we were right together. He had trouble with the heat. And I, you know, this is the funny part, is that I didn't even know there was a trail out of there. We discovered it, we're there, and I was like kind of walking around, and I was walking up the drainage, and I said, there's rock cairn. Why would somebody put a rock cairn here? And then there's another one. Why would somebody put a rock cairn, on a creek, drainage? And then all of a sudden, a trail came out. It went out of the drainage. And I said, "This is a trail out of here. Look, it's all really used." And I went back and said, "Brian, there's a way out of here, So that was kind of funny that, and we never discovered that there was a trail actually. The Escalante was coming. We never discovered that one for some reason.
Well, that's hard to see from Hans Rapid.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then so we watched these river trips and stuff. And then finally we got brought down here. And that was my first time in the Ranger Station.
The Phantom Ranger Station.
Yeah. And we actually got a permit so we didn't have to hike right out. So we had a permit for me and Brian to stay here and then in Garn. So they said, I don't want to hike all the way out in the middle of summer. So, and so we got permit for two nights.
And this is something that you and Brian did on your own, or did the researchers set it up for you?
I did it.
Yeah,
it was my idea. Yeah.
And you did that before the river trip started.
Well, when we got an idea of what was going on, we still went to the Park Service. But I remember going to the back of traffic to do it, but I think they helped.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but I had the impression that they helped us make that work. Yeah, that's the impression I got. But
Let me guess, though, that 18 days at Hans Rapid and then 2 or 3 days to get out from Phantom Ranch, you were bitten by the bug, the Grand Canyon bug.
Yeah, that's where I found love.
Can you describe that at all? Was it a gradual thing? Was it an immediate thing? Did it?
I don't know. I just got really into it.
Okay.
This is the place to be.
So the heat didn't bother you like
no,
it did
I
Brian?
No, the heat didn't bother me whatsoever.
Did Brian ever come back to the Grand Canyon?
Oh, yeah. He actually came visit me here.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just was never into the heat. You know?
Right. Are you still friends in touch with Brian?
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, but that was really neat. So I fell in love with the canyon, and that's where I met Patty Thompson. I met Katie Smith. I think what her name was, she had a different name then. She wasn't married yet.
Okay.
Yeah, Abram maybe.
Katie Abram.
That's where I met him, and then we were in here, and they made ice cream. Yeah, and margaritas. because it's George Steck.
Oh, so George was with you here too.
Yeah.
So Patty Thompson and Katie would have been the first Rangers you met.
Yeah, I think there was some other woman. There was an interpreter here. And
oh, really?
I actually hiked up with her to Phantom Overlook.
Wow. It wasn't Pam Cox, though.
No, it wasn't Pam Cox. This was way before Pam Cox.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but I don't remember her. I just remember hiking with her, and she was really fast, zipping up the trail there. And then it was pretty neat. And then the next day, we went to spend the night in Garden, because we weren't in any hurry.
Right.
We're here for the canyon. That's what the plan was.
Well, Helen's walking up here now. We're just going to take a quick pause.
I
got to go first. All right. Yeah. So anyway, so when we finally hiked out, I decided to, go to the North Rim.
Oh.
Yeah. So I went to the North Rim and started looking around, and then I found out they have camp. I talked to the campground host, and the campground host said, we've been volunteering and stuff like that. And I said, oh, okay. So I thought, well, maybe this is how I can get my foot in the door.
Let me just ask you, though, you didn't have another river trip as a volunteer planned, or that was just a one-up and it's done? And
Well, later, when I was, I had some other river trips.
Okay, yeah, but when fact, you did, when you finished the first one, it wasn't like you were going to go down in a week or something.
No,
like
no, so it was pretty much to here, yeah. But at least I got something, you know.
And then you went to the North Rim to see the North Rim. Was that your first time at the North Rim?
No, it wasn't my first time at North Rim. But I went to the North Rim. I think, I think what we did, we actually went to, if I remember this correctly, we went to Monument Valley first.
Okay.
And then we went to the North Rim, I think. But I could be mixing up on that trip there. But anyway, we went to the North Rim, and then I started... asking around, and I talked to the host, and they have hosts there. And I thought, oh, okay. And the hosts were 4 days on and 4 days off, and there was another set of hosts, so they was taking turns every 4 days. So I got talked to their supervisor, and I got two applications, and then I headed to L.A., and then so I spent winter at L.A. watching whales again, and then spring started coming up, and I hadn't heard anything, and I started wondering what's going on, so I called, and the supervisor, which is fee collection, said that she didn't have an application in mind.
Oh, wow.
And I go, oh. And they said, but we do have a space. And I said, well, I have another application I haven't filled out. She says, okay, well, send it then. So I sent it, and she hired me. Yeah, that was Mary Dano.
Mary Dano.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I was on the North Rim.
This would have been the beginning of the summer of 87.
87, right.
Okay.
87. And I was up there for 2 years.
Oh, doing the campground host?
The campground host actually only lasted 2 months because apparently they had a person, they already had a person, but the person had a 2 month delay. So I took that, so I filled in for those 2 months. So when she came, I said, well, I don't want to leave. Is there anything else to do? So they gave me a place to camp in a tent cabin right on the rim, in the where they live, where all the rangers live.
So this is on the rim of the transept?
Yeah, on the rim of the transept. Where the right next to the Hellespont.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I stayed there for both summers, and then.
And what were you doing then if you weren't doing the campground host? There were various things.
Or? Yeah, I was doing various things. I ended up painting the entrance station.
Oh wow!
Yeah, the sign at the entrance station.
While visitors are coming through.
Yeah, yeah, and then I also. Dug out fire pits in the campground.
This wasn't the time when Keith and Nancy Green were at the North Rim, is it?
I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess they were there a little before you. They were at the North Rim, probably in the mid 80s.
That's right. I forgot about that. Patty was on the North Rim.
That's where she went after Montezum or Tuzegut.
Listen, I'm trying to think, because she was here.
And then she went to Tuzegut. We were still dating. Patty and I were still dating.
And then she ended up there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so so I knew her up there. But anyway, yeah, so, and then, but I, because I had 4 days off, every 4 days, I always went in the canyon.
Really?
I always went in the canyon.
Even in the summer?
In the summer. But I went, I did like Nankweep and did, Nankweep I didn't do in the summer. I did it when it was cooler.
Right.
But But I did. I went to Thunder River a lot, area and stuff, and then came here a lot. And I went out to Clear Creek too.
Do you remember who the ranger was here when you were working at the North Rim?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think here. See, somewhere along the line, I met Brian.
Brian Wisher.
Yeah, and I met at Inny Gardens.
Okay.
So I was one of the things I used to do was I would hike down here and I would stay two nights in the campground, and then on the middle day I would make the Tonto Loop.
Wow.
Yeah, and there I met what's his name, Larry Simpkin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there was another guy. What was his name?
The pump operator, Larry Simpkin, and the other guy was Jerry Lopez, Jerry Chavez.
Yeah, I met Jerry Chavez, but there was another guy, L.E., I forgot his name. I just not right, but anyway, so anyway, then I came back down here, and Brian somehow got a hold of Patty or something, but there was something was happening down here in the ranger station, like a potluck or something. And so I got invited. So I was in the ranger station again. And then so I met some of the rangers here and stuff like that. Yeah.
So... maybe at this potluck was...
Kathy Daskell. I met Kathy Daskell.
Kathy Daskell. I remember
her.
Yeah,
but she was working at the ranch.
Yeah, she hadn't yet started with the Park Service.
Yeah.
But Brian Wisher would have been at the potluck?
No, he was at Inny Gardens. Okay. You know, I met him at Inny Gardens when I was making the loop. But
would Patty have hiked down and been here at the potluck? Or you just met other rangers?
She was here. She was here. Yeah.
Oh, did she come back and become the Phantom Ranger?
Yeah, because somewhere along she came back. And so I'm not quite sure how the sequence of that.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure of the sequence. Yeah.
So something happened at the potluck? Somebody said something to you? And
No.
Okay.
Just, yeah. And but anyway, then I got to know people, and so they got to know me, you know, and stuff like that, and I got to know the Cottonwood Ranger, and then somewhere along the line, Bruce and Mary was looking for somebody to take care of the kids because they were going on an anniversary trip. And so somebody, I think Doug Paulson, mentioned my name. So the Cottonwood Ranger was Doug Paulson and Albert De La Gaza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so... Doug Paulson, he was really friendly, because I was something to sleep there. But anyway, he talked to them, and then they talked to different Park Service people there, and so then they had me come down, and I was surprised because they barely knew they, but then they hired me to take care of the kids, and then I took care of the kids, and they really liked me, and the kids wanted me to live there. Yeah, but anyway, I didn't live there, but I did. I think I took care of them again. But eventually, Bruce taught me how to run the pump.
Holy cow!
Yeah, so Bruce ran the pump. So then I became his fill-in operator.
Unpaid.
Unpaid, yeah.
And the Park Service was okay with this.
Yeah, they were okay with it. And then somewhere along the line, I started getting VIP money. But I'm not quite sure where that started.
And you started to get the VIP money when you were the fill-in pump operator?
Yeah, I think it was something on... I think I may have gotten it on the North Rim.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay.
Something like that. But I know that at first I didn't get it. And then later on, they thought I wasn't eligible. But then they found out, no, that's not right. He is eligible.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I would I might be down for whatever time he wasn't down, I would be doing the pump.
Wow, I had no idea you were doing that.
Yeah.
And you were living, this was already when the new powerhouse had been built, so it was a duplex at this time.
Yeah, it is kind of what it is now.
Yeah. See, when I started down here, I remember the original powerhouse, and when I was the Cottonwood Ranger in 76, Bruce and Mary lived in the old powerhouse.
Yeah.
And then they built the new one.
Because the old one was over there where the garden ended.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing then this is 1988 when you're filling in for Bruce?
That I don't know. I can't remember if it was the summer of 87 or 88.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to follow along with the timeline.
Yeah.
You did the river trip in 86.
Yeah.
And you said it was two seasons at the North Rim, which would have been 87 and 88.
Yeah.
So possibly filling in for Bruce either 88 or 89 or somewhere.
So it would be either 87 or 88 or maybe even both. That I can't remember.
Okay. Do you remember what the wage was for the per diem for a volunteer back then?
Five.
That's what it was when I was a VIP. Yeah. $5 a day.
Yeah. $5, yeah.
Wow.
And then, so that was neat. That was really neat to be able to do that.
So that was a regular thing for you, filling in for Bruce. He'd get his days off, and you were the guy that went down there and did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I don't think that. I think when he left.
Okay.
Only when he left.
Yeah, he would stay for his days off a lot of times in pain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes I went down a lot on my days off because the kids
You got along with them.
Yeah, I got along with the kids and stuff, yeah. And so a lot of times Bruce was there, and I came down because they wanted me to, the kids wanted me down, so I went down. And I liked being in the canyon, so.
I'm thinking that Bruce and Mary's oldest daughter, Mercy, might have been...
14.
14.
Yeah, she was 14, Shirley was 12, and Silas was 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
And these were their lemonade stand days, when mm-hmm. they had the lemonade stand on the North Kaibab Trail?
Yeah, I had to give them some advice about that.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, so they would after they woke up and everything, they would set it up, right? And I said, you're missing half of your customers. And he goes, what? And so I said, well, if you pack that in ice in the evening and make lemonade and pack it in ice, then you're going to get those people coming out of Cottonwood on that trying to get out early, and that lemonade be waiting for them.
They didn't man the lemonade stand then. They just had it your honor system.
Yeah.
I think, what did they charge for a glass of lemonade?
Well, they didn't charge.
It was just a suggested donation.
Yeah, donation, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because that would be, illegal.
Well, that's good that you gave them that
idea.
Advice.
Yeah.
It improved their business?
Yeah, because it was almost doubled it.
Wow.
Yeah, because it wasn't, even people coming from Phantom, the early starts, they were able to get in there.
What else did you do with the kids there? Did you hike with them?
Yeah, hike with them.
Play in the creek?
Play the creek a lot, and just games that they made up.
Okay.
And Silas was into soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, and one day we had, sometimes we would put the ball in the middle and then we would rush at it.
Uh-huh.
And one time we crashed instead of taking the ball. And it hurt. We both got hurt on that one. Yeah, and then, just the different things. And sometimes we would dress up and go down the trail. Yeah, we had one thing that was when I first started taking care of them. Somewhere before...
Another interruption here?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
There you go.
Before I was hired and take care of them, Shirley... And was hiking out, or the kids were hiking out, and Shirley had messed up her leg. I think broke something, and then she got a, and then somebody carried her out, and then somebody, so the doctor put a cast on it, And so when I came down to take care of her, she had this cast.
Oh.
And so Mary didn't want her walking on it. Okay. So what we did, so the ranger at Cottonwood, Doug Paulson, he had, his girlfriend just broke up with him and he's kind of bummed out. Okay. And I just happened to walk through there, and he told me about it. And then he goes, and he says, "You know what's even worse?" And I go, "What?" And he goes, "The kids never come down to visit me anymore." So when I took care of them, I said, "We got to go down and visit Doug." And so we decided to go visit. So their grandmother happened to come down. So Bruce's mom came down. And so I pushed the wheelbarrow. The grandmother was behind, and Mercy was pulling, and Silas was walking ahead with a plank to get us over the water bars.
Which are large in that stretch of the...
Yeah, and that's why, and there's 50 of them. So we... And the ramp was only on one side, so we... Boom, boom, all the way down there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and then of course we had to do it in reverse. Yeah, and
uphill. Yeah. Oh, that's great! I had no idea you were taking care of those kids.
Yeah, and then then years later, when Mercy got older and got out of school, she actually was an interpreter on the North Rim.
Uh huh.
Which I didn't know at the time. She had this program about life, you know, growing up in the canyon, and she had a picture of the wheelbarrow thing with Shirley in it. And
wow.
And then so people were coming down from the North Rim and go, "Oh, you're the guy in the picture at the program with the wheelbarrow." And I go, "What?" And then suddenly they say, "Yeah, you were pushing this kid with a broken leg on the wheelbarrow." And I go, "What?" Yeah. And then I also realized that it was in her program.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. So the North Rim would close for these two seasons that you were doing this with the Aikens and then also on the North Rim. Do you remember what you did in the winters for those
whale two? Watching.
Whale watching back at Port Vicente? Point Vicente?
Point Vicente. There was another thing that happened, and one of the rangers, Tom Cox, I don't know if you remember him.
No.
Yeah, so Tom Cox was the LE guy up on top, and he had just come from Channel Islands off San Miguel Island, and he talked to Rob Dano, so Mary Dano's husband, that he should get that job at San Miguel
Island,
and which he did, and meanwhile. I was trying to get on this. There was this huge project that was going to happen on the Channel Islands to watch whales off different islands. And I wanted to get part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I had done Point Vicente, and I had also done Catalina Island for the L.A. chapter of the American Cetacean Society. And but I wanted to try a different island. And so, but for some reason, I could not get on it. Every time I made phone calls, the person never called me back. And I finally just gave up. But then what happened was, now it was a ranger, San Miguel, the ranger, I knew him now. And so, and it turned out this guy that wouldn't answer my phone calls, he wanted to have the count happen again. So he hired Mary, okay? So how it happened was, because I was with the American Cetacean Society and the National Park Service, that's how why they chose me to do it.
Okay.
Because there was some kind of conflict. And I don't know what the conflict was, but there was some kind of conflict with this guy that wouldn't answer my never called me back. And so he knew about me. And probably because all my whale watching I did with the LA chapter. So this is kind of politics, but... But so anyway, he didn't want me on the project. But Meanwhile, the purser was also upset with him. So they were talking about canceling the whole thing. But because Rob Dano mentioned, hey, I know a guy who wants to do a census on this island, and he is with the Medicine Tasty and the Park Service. But he didn't hire me, he hired Mary. But before we went to do it, Mary got pregnant, so she bailed out, which put me the only one.
Oh.
So I was paid to watch whales in San Miguel Island.
And you did that for one winter?
Just for 2 months.
2 months?
2 months, yeah. And then I went back to my regular whale watching site.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would, so when I was on North Rim, I would go back to watch whales, but except for 88. In 88, the Park Service called me up and said that the guy called me up. He finally knew me and wasn't afraid of me. And it turned out that he was afraid I was going to share my numbers that I found too with this. I guess it was the woman that I was doing for was his competitor.
Oh, okay.
So that's what it was about. But anyway, so in 88 is when I finally got to come down here.
The winter of 88.
Yeah, so November of 88, November 15th. So I worked it out with the Park Service so that I could stay here, and so I didn't go back to watch whales.
So let that just be a record. Shores started down here at Phantom Ranch November 15th, 1988.
Yeah.
To begin what is still your current run down here at Phantom Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, and since then, I do still go whale watching.
Yes.
But only for 2 weeks somewhere.
Still for the American Cetacean Society.
More for myself.
Mostly for yourself.
For myself, just for enjoyment. But if I do gray whales, I will give them a somewhat of account where I am.
Okay.
American Cetacean Society. And so I've watched whales in the Central Coast.
Okay.
Southbound gray whales. Humpbacks on the Central Coast, watch him doing feeding behaviors, bumble netting there. And
is this near San Simeon?
North of there.
Okay.
But also at San Simeon. All shore height, all shore stuff. Never go on boats.
Okay.
And belugas in the St. Lawrence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Humpbacks in their winter mode, the breeding mode and calving mode. Also humpbacks in Tonga.
Oh.
Yeah, and good thing wasn't this year.
Yeah.
yeah, Tonga, and different place. Oh, and orcas up in the San Juans.
I'm just curious, when you do these far-flung whale watching, do they pay your way to get to the places?
No, it's just a vacation trip. So almost all my vacation trip it's been related to going and see whales somewhere.
I see.
Yeah.
And then you just volunteer to share the information with the people that...
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But the one time I went to San Juan Island to watch orcas there, and the park there, because I would stay for 2 weeks, so I was every day I was there, and I got to know the researchers and stuff. And so they offered me to be an interpreter, and so I was staying in a campground about 3 miles away. I got the camp on the property and then became their interpreter. And so 3 times I've gone back for 2 months and did some interpreter from here. So I took a break from here and 3 different summers I took a break.
Oh,
and I
wow.
watched and I did interpretation and spotted watch orcas and humpbacks and minke whales.
Well, I'm going to pause this one right here because we're starting now with Phantom Ranch, and I want that to be on its own separate file.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's whale watching.